Krista Wessel, and this is On Deck with Young Musicians. Every Saturday at 5 o'clock on All Classical Portland, we celebrate young musicians right here in our community. And today we will meet 18-year-old cellist Evan Howard. Evan is a senior at the Vancouver School of Arts and Academics, and he performs with the Portland Youth Philharmonic. As you'll hear, Evan has a lot of energy. He is involved in a million different things. The day I sat down with him, he was buzzing. He had just spent a lot of time working on a lot of college applications.
Yeah, I'm applying to a lot of places, probably more than I should. I'm applying to Rochester. I've already applied to UW, USC, Northwestern. The ones that I still have to go are Columbia and Yale and Princeton and Swarthmore. So I'm trying to get over to the East Coast. That's the goal.
Wow. Do you have a dream college then? Like if you get accepted to all of these places that you applied to?
I don't know, because I can be happy wherever I go. But I would really love to go to Yale. I love Connecticut. New Haven has this really homey feel to it. It has this really nice balance of a college campus, but also like a city at the same time. And it's close to everything. That's what's nice about being on the East Coast, I think, is that you're a train ride away from everything. And with Yale, they have like such an amazing engineering program. And I'm really interested in biochemical engineering. But I also like love cello so much that I don't know how I could ever give it up. And they have an amazing liberal arts program. And their cello teacher is fantastic. So I'm looking for that really deep balance between the two.
You mentioned biochemical engineering. I barely even know what that is. Can you explain what it is and what your interest is?
I barely know what that is, to be completely honest. I've always had a really deep fascination with chemistry, and there's so many parallels between chemistry and music, too, that I can get into later. But with biochemical engineering, we live in a day and age right now where everything is about the human genome, and we can like look at this map of everything that's going on in the body based upon your own genetic makeup that comes from your chromosomes. And so I'm really interested in how we can take that information and create solutions out of like compounding different types of drugs. There's an entirely new field of drugs that are like, I think it's a category called biological drugs, and it's creating like little bacterium almost that go into the body that can like repair things, and we can like teach different like organisms to help heal the body. And that's what I'm really interested to, is like creating, and this is like these drugs are so expensive, so I want to like make cheaper solutions that can like affect a very wide range of people, kind of like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation did with HIV and AIDS treatment, how they're creating and malaria too. They have created a lot of like solutions that, and they're trying to like lower the price of everything to get it out to everyone. So
I'm always curious how people find a passion like this. Was there like a moment where you were like, ooh, biochemical engineering, pretty cool?
Well, my dad lives with rheumatoid arthritis, which is something that's affected him for a very long amount of time. He's a tennis player, and so like his favorite thing to do is go out and play tennis, but he can't always do that because if he has like back issues, our medical insurance, thank God, can cover these drugs that are able to help him like actually like function as a person. And so arthritis is pretty common, and it like prevents people from doing what they love. And it's like terrifying for musicians. Like you hear somebody gets arthritis and it's like pin dropping silence. Like it's terrifying because like that's their profession. So I want to make everyone as fortunate as my dad, because I know that it's can ruin people's lives if they don't have the availability and access to the medication that they need. And so I love chemistry, and it's like problem solving too. It's like they're all like puzzles, like molecules are like little arrangements of patterns and stuff. And I'm like fascinated with structures and like how that's applicable on like a human size scale. And I want to create those solutions to help people.
That is 18-year-old cellist Evan Howard. He performs with the Portland Youth Philharmonic. And in this episode, we're hearing a couple of PYP recordings in the background. This one is of Camerata PYP. That's the chamber orchestra of the Portland Youth Philharmonic. I'm Krista Wessel, and this is On Deck with Young Musicians. I mentioned a few minutes ago that Evan is a senior at the Vancouver School of Arts and Academics. That's a magnet school that I'd certainly heard of, but actually know very little about.
At our school, when you go in as a sixth grader, a prerequisite for our school is that you have to take explore classes. And so we have six art forms. We have dance, moving image arts, literary arts, visual arts, theater, and music. And you need to take an explore class, which is like the foundation level of every art form. And you need to take all of those classes to graduate. And it really allows you to kind of like mingle through the art world and like figure out what your passion and your hobby was. I would have never discovered cello if I didn't take a music explore class. So it's nice that we have this wide gamut of different options for any incoming artist. And the highest level of each art form, I should add, is called the focus level. There's like two or three levels between explore and focus that you have to go through. And you're kind of like focusing in on that art form. But I don't really focus very well. I kind of differentiate, you could say. But I originally wanted to go to the school for moving image arts, which is filmmaking, and visual arts like ceramics, clay, pottery. I was really interested in like drawing in elementary school. And so that's why I wanted to go to the school originally. But then I realized I have no idea what I'm doing with filmmaking. And I really, really loved the cello, so I kind of like swapped those two things around. But then my seventh grade year, I discovered that I really loved acting when I got wrapped into one of my school's big productions. And I've been acting ever since. And I tried to differentiate with music, too. And we have a recording arts class, and I've been taking that, and I love that class. But what I finally kind of come to is that the art forms that I've actually focused in are visual arts, orchestra, and recording arts.
Okay, so back up a bit when you were telling the story about how you went in from movie making, basically, and then because you have to sample all these different art forms, you found cello, and you kind of sped right by that very defining moment, it seems, of sitting down with the cello and just having what sounds like an aha moment, because you've been devoting yourself to cello now for, what, 4 or 5 years or
more?
Yeah,
5 years.
Yeah, so what was it about that instrument? What was it about that experience? Why does music speak to you in a way that was kind of unexpected?
So I think the earliest memory that I have of actually like hearing a cello solely as itself was at our school. We have these things called showcases, and it's when we have every art form has like two or three a year where they go on stage and the entire school gets in the auditorium called the Durst Theater and we perform for the school. And it was during a music showcase that there was a cello solo going on, and I remember like sitting on the edge of my chair, and I thought it was like the most beautiful like sound ever. It had this really melodic quality, and it had a really relatable tone to it too. And I think that's why a lot of people really love the cello as well, because it's the human vocal range. It like speaks to us because it has that endearing, yearning quality that a lot of like operatic singers have too. And so I just remember sitting in the auditorium, like completely engaged in the moment, encapsulated. And I had always really wanted to like play an instrument before. I remember orchestras like toured elementary schools, and we'd like all sit down, they'd play like something simple, and we'd be like, oh, that's awesome. And I always, for a while, it was violin, actually. And then I came to my senses. I remember it was like that showcase that I was just sitting in the auditorium, and it was listening to that cello solo that I was like, I really want to play the cello.
The angel
sang. Exactly. Jacqueline Dupre came down on a silver cloud and like bestowed upon me the touch of a cellist, and floated off into the ether. That's exactly how it happened.
Given where you are now, 4 or 5 years later, you're playing in the top orchestra at PYP. Mm-hmm. You're studying with Hamilton Chaffetz at PSU. It must be, or maybe I'm making an assumption here, that when you started, you had a natural affinity for it, too. Not only were you drawn to the sound of this instrument, but somehow you were naturally good at it, too?
Yeah, I like to think that I picked it up rather quickly. When I started taking lessons, I would remember sitting, like, actually outside of my house on the porch. not because my parents would, like, force me out there because of beginning to play cello. But, like, that's just kind of, like, where I would want to practice. And it was like, I started in the spring too, so it wasn't too hot, wasn't too cool. And I would just like sit out there for like hours and hours and hours and playing like really basic songs like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, or like The Happy Farmer, for like hours on it until I kind of like perfected it, because I'm a perfectionist. That's something that, it's like my double-edged sword. It's like, I can't let something go, but at the same time, it like really helps enrich whatever I'm doing. But I just really fell in love with it so much that I didn't want to do anything else. And so I think that kind of helped accelerate the process. I teach beginning level string students, and a really hard part in nurturing them is trying to like figure out what like they really love about the instrument, so they constantly want to like play it and play it and play it. It's getting them to that point where they really love what they're doing, so they can constantly do it over and over again. Because it's like, it's less of a chore, more of what you love. And cello has never been a chore for me. It's always one of my biggest passions.
I mentioned PYP. You're mm-hmm. taking private lessons with Hamilton yeah. Chaffetz. You said you like to act. You're doing mm-hmm. some acting and some sound engineering stuff at school. Uh-huh. What else do you have your hands in?
Well, I'm taking a lot of classes. I'm taking about, I think it's like 4 or 5 AP classes at school. I have an extra morning course at another local high school because they don't offer AP physics at my school. So I go in the morning at the crack of dawn to Skyview High School, and I take physics every morning there, which is so grueling. But I have those classes, taking calculus, physics, literature, U.S. history. I'm trying to like look as pleasing to colleges as possible. Yeah. That's kind of the goal. But outside of school, I also row. I love to row.
Rowing.
It's kind of a place that it's where all my thoughts can kind of congeal into like one body. Because it's not, monotonous isn't the right word. It's like knitting or crocheting, where you have like that repetitive calming motion that's like very zen. And it has like a musical aspect to it too, because everyone has to be in time. But it also has like a social aspect that I really like, kind of like an orchestra where everyone, no matter what you did that day, no matter if like you failed a test or if you got into like a car accident, like anything that happened, you can put it aside. You can leave the baggage at the door and you can just focus on like what's going on right now. Because that's the sum of all the parts is a lot more important than the constituents.
Evan, do you ever feel like you're too busy?
That's what people tell me. But like, I feel that if I'm not on the edge of like spontaneously combusting, then I'm not spending my time at all correctly. It's like the stress. I need the stress of like having to get it all done to like really propel me forward.
I'm just, you know, getting to know you. I'm worried that you're going to burn out.
That's what people tell me.
But you've got this big smile on your face. You look like you're just really engaged in the world. And my worry is probably woefully unfounded. But here I am sitting here as somebody who could be your mother. Worried that you're going to burn out.
Oh, no. I've always been, like, my high school counselor, bless her heart, she spends probably, like, 80% of her time, like, worrying about how I'm not going to burn out all the time because I'm like, oh, Bonnie, I took on this new thing. And she's like, are you kidding me? No, you need to stop. You're applying to, like, all these colleges and you, like, can't add another thing to your plate. Like, this is ridiculous. I remember a really funny quote one of our literary arts teachers showed me. Because they were trying to get this guest artist to come to the school and like lecture, but he couldn't because he was so busy. And the quote that he used is, "Sorry, but I've got a lot on my plate and a hole in my spoon." And I relate, heavily to that statement. But instead of like a lot on my plate, I feel like I have like a bowl of water and I'm trying to like drink water with a spoon that has a hole in it. That's how it is a lot of the time, while like juggling the bowl of water with like other bowls of water.
But you love it.
Yeah, I do. It's like the rush is great. It's like being in orchestra, you can't stop or else you get plowed over by the brass section. You have to like keep going no matter what. And it's like that thrill and that adventure and that rush that I'm kind of hooked on. My name is Evan Howard, and I'm 18 years old.
You're obviously so involved in so many things, mm-hmm. yet you make huge swaths of time in your busy schedule for music. Mm-hmm. And so I want to know why. I want to know why you love music. I want to know what it means to you, how it makes you feel, however you want to answer that question. Why is it so important in your life?
Oof. I feel like we owe it to the composers. If you think about like a composition, it's like how somebody thinks exactly. It's like taking an idea that didn't exist before, and it's creating something that has substance and that people can experience. And so when I play music by like Tchaikovsky or Beethoven or Shostakovich, I get a sense of like what was going through their head, and it's kind of like traveling back in time. When you do it well, you're like really transported there. And getting to do it with like 100 other people all doing the same exact thing and like having the same mental process at the same time, like there's something magical about that. It's like, how do you get 120 people to be thinking the exact same thing following this one guy on a podium? That's just crazy to be able to follow that same wavelength, trying to understand what they were thinking.
Dream career. Any ideas?
I put this in one of my college apps, too. It's like they have all these colleges are doing the tweet questions where it's like 120 characters or less. And the dream job would be world famous cellist by night, but simple chemical engineer by day, or something like that, to the effect of, I would love to have a schedule working at a pharmaceutical firm, or like someplace that I can like invent, but also like create and like lead a team of people by day. And then at night I'd be going to the operas and performing in the ballets and working with the symphonies. But that's the dream. I don't know if it'll work out, but you shoot towards always what you want, not what you can have. Another famous quote that I really like, and this is actually like my senior quote: if your dreams do not scare you, they are not big enough. Because a dream is something, by definition, that you would really love to happen, but has like almost an impossible probability of actually occurring. So if you're not terrified by the odds, then really, is it a dream?
That is a good question. The thoughtfulness and the energy of that guy, right? He is 18-year-old cellist Evan Howard, and you can see him perform with the Portland Youth Philharmonic. I'm Krista Wessel. This has been On Deck with Young Musicians. Every Saturday at 5 o'clock, we celebrate young musicians in our community. And a reminder that every single episode of On Deck has been permanently archived at the All Classical Portland website, along with additional information about each of these kids. So to listen to Evan's episode of On Deck again, just head to allclassical.org, click Programs, and then On Deck. Again, that's allclassical.org. And thank you for joining me today. I hope to see you on deck again next Saturday.